Well, we're going to be talking about the theory of evolution as a religion on this edition of the Tomorrow Program with a university instructor of hard science. His name is Arnold Mendez, and he has about 400 students at any particular time teaching chemistry, and yet has decided that he can't believe in evolution. You're with a major American university. Arnold Mendez, why do the people believe in evolution as a faith? Doesn't it have enough scientific data to support it?
It doesn't really have enough scientific data to support it. If it was like any other science, it would be like 4 + 4 = 8, and everybody would believe it and everybody would agree with it. The problem with evolution is that it is not based on science. It is based on slanting of the data and on misconceptions and on preconceived notions. So evolution is really not a science. I like to term it a philosophy.
Where's the reality? What is real science then, in your view? You're an instructor of chemistry. You told me you have many teaching assistants. You have hundreds of students. Mm-hmm. You teach the hard science of chemistry to chemistry majors and other science majors. Mm-hmm. You send them through this major university program, which most people would, or a lot of people would, recognize this university in another part of the United States. Why is not evolution science?
Because evolution is not based on facts. Evolution is a philosophy. And I think that part of the reason that it is not a true science is because evolution cannot be falsified. What I mean by that is that if you bring new data into the evolutionary circle that contradicts evolutionary principles, then scientists are not going to accept that data. Are they going to manipulate the data? I like the term evolution sort of like jelly. It squirms and it squiggles, and you really can't put a handle on it from a data point of view. It's based on certain principles that are not correct.
Okay. The sciences are supposed to be based on the scientific method.
Right.
And as I learned in high school, and everybody that goes to high school has to learn, that is where you have a set of data, and then you hypothesize some principle about it, and then you create a theory, and then you test your hypothesis against experiments,
right,
and hard data, and then if it's wrong, you either change your theory to reflect the new information, or you throw it out and
right.
Say, no, the whole thing's wrong, and I was wrong to start with. And so the theory never becomes a law,
right,
a reality. Well, after 150 years, is evolution a law, or is it a theory, or is it really been disproven?
It's not a fact. It's certainly not a theory, because a theory, once again, you can falsify. I believe that evolution has been disproven in many, through many principles, through many processes. The reason that it's not rejected outright is because the ramifications exist for what do we put in its place. And so evolution will never be discarded, because if we discard evolution, if we get rid of evolution, we have to have something in its place. Science, people abhor a vacuum. So if evolution is not how we got here, then how did we get here? And you've got to answer that question if you get rid of evolution.
The thought in most of our culture is, well, God made us.
Right.
Which is a religious answer, in one sense, or let's say a faith answer. It's a confidence.
Right.
And then, of course, you would say that there's a basis in the rocks, in the history of the universe, to say that that's a correct assessment of
right.
of the physical reality as opposed to evolution. But back to the scientific method, you as a scientist then, what in the scientific method is itself violated consistently with evolution?
One of them, first of all, is, for example, spontaneous generation. Spontaneous generation says that that living things come from dead things. This was a very popular theory back in the 1500s, the Middle Ages, 1600s, until it was debunked by Louis Pasteur when he did his work, because he was trying to keep wine from fermenting or going bad, and he developed the principle of pasteurization. And pasteurization simply says that things don't spontaneously generate, as it was commonly believed. And if you look at evolution and you go back to the first cause, in other words, where did that first spark of life come from? You've got to admit that somewhere in the distant past, whatever aging system you use, whatever dating system you use, somewhere in the ancient past, living things came into being from dead matter.
Or from inorganic.
Inorganic matter.
Yeah.
And every scientific experiment that we've ever used proves that living things only come from living things.
So at its basis, one of the premises of evolution is unscientific, never been observed. Every single example of life has an origin, and the entire premise of evolution is based on everything came from something that didn't have life.
That's correct. Let me just kind of touch a little bit more here on Louis Pasteur. Louis Pasteur said that, proved that living things can only come from living things. Mm-hmm. You know, he developed the principle or the procedure for pasteurization. I like to tell people when I talk to them about this subject that every time you get a glass of milk, every time you get a glass of milk and a couple of cookies, and you go to the refrigerator and you pour that long, cold glass of milk into your cold glass, that you're actually disproving that evolution is viable, because that pasteurized milk does not spontaneously generate microbes and organisms. It's been pasteurized. So, once again, pasteurization and the principle of pasteurization disproves that evolution is a viable theory. Another thing is that organisms remain stable. In other words, there is no crossing over of certain biological boundaries. I don't like to use the term species because species is a very broad term.
In other words, a monkey never really does become a man.
Right.
Or a flea does not become the dog.
Right. We may see the robin's beak change length, or we may see the dog change spots, or we may see the cat develop more fur, but we will never see a dog turn into a cat.
In nature, then, you can never observe what human beings are doing. We're taking DNA, a little strand out of, you know, a billion pieces of information, a little strand of DNA from a fish and sticking it in a tomato and coming up with something, you know, different. That never happens without the intervention of an intelligent life. Right.
Right. You know, one of my favorite characters, we often see the mad scientist dressed in his white lab coat. And I can kind of relate to him because I teach a lot of labs. But the mad scientist dressed in his lab coat, and he's got a pocket full of pins, and he's writing on the blackboard, and he says, I'm going to develop an experiment that is going to develop life to prove that life comes into being by itself. Well, if life can ever be created by man, which I don't think it ever will happen, if life can ever be created by man, it'll only prove that it needed intelligent design to do it.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about some interesting things like Darwin's terrible joke, as we're calling it on the program, and survival of the fakest, some of the worst ideas that keep coming back that have been disproven in evolution. But I do want to ask you then to sum up, why is evolution, since it does not reflect the reality of biological life as we see it, the nature of physics in the universe, the chemistry of reality, why is it then a faith?
We can define religion as belief in an afterlife. We can define religion as being faith-based. We can define religion as dealing with our origins and where we're going. We can define religion as the first cause or the primary cause. Evolution talks about all these things. Faith says that there's a first cause. Evolution also says that. Evolution says there was a first cause. Evolution says that there's no absolutes. Evolution says that there's no afterlife.
But they absolutely say there's no absolutes.
That's correct.
In other words, they assert, like a faith,
right,
that there is none of these things, but in fact, it's a faith.
Well, if evolution is a science, what are they doing delving into metaphysical things like religion and saying that there's no afterlife? How do they know?
In a reality that they don't know.
And it's all faith. In other words, if you're a scientist and you believe that there's no afterlife, the only way you can say that is because you have a faith that there is none, not because you have scientific proof, because it's outside the realm of science.
And that there is no God, and therefore you must please God so that your behavior is good, so that you'll be rewarded. That's all a bunch of baloney, according to the evolutionary theory.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
And yet they don't know that.
Right.
Because they can't prove that.
Correct. So they're speaking from ignorance.
But they are totally convinced in a faith. And isn't this the same argument then that some people who don't base their religion on any facts will assert? So it's pretty much an emotionally driven philosophy, as you say, the entire faith of evolution.
Okay. A good example is evolutionists believe that there's no afterlife. Yeah. Well, if you believe that there's no afterlife, that's a religious precept,
yeah,
and it's based on faith. So once again, that shows that evolution is really a faith.
Now, Mr. Mendez, we're going to come back and talk about Darwin's terrible joke. When we do, I think you'll find that very interesting. We have a couple of publications that you're going to find very interesting. And do call our 800 number or go to tomorrowonline.org and get these free publications. This one's called Creation or Evolution, Does It Really Matter What You Believe? There are all kinds of holes, scientific holes, provable holes in the theory of evolution. So many of them that really should be banned as anything intellectually honest in public education. In higher education, the history of hoaxes is appalling in evolution and, frankly, is never told my kids or yours. What does the fossil record actually show is a section of this great, the case of evolution, the increasing number of intellectual and scientific arguments against evolution are reviewed in an easy way to read, out-of-place fossils. There are so many of them. What's wrong with the fossil record? The entire geologic column on which it is based only exists in 1% of the Earth's strata. Did you know that? There's a lot of technical stuff associated with this discussion that you can get a grasp of easily by getting Creation or Evolution. What does it really matter what you believe? And watch this ad. Call the 800 number. You will never be asked to join anything or pay any money for these great publications in the interest of public education on spiritual matters. We'll be right back to talk about Darwin's terrible joke.